Hey, everybody, Matt, Jess and Dave here.
Sorry, Jess, just butting in quickly to let the listeners know that I'm going to be in Sydney this week, coming up the 8th to the 12th of May, and you can get tickets now via mattshieldcomedy.com, then going straight to Brisbane on the 16th to the 19th. So tickets for my show Dryer Dryer in Sydney and Melbourne.
Sorry, Matt, I'll just cut you off there. I just need to tell everyone that our quiz show, our web series, is out right now. Do go on the quiz show. You can see it on Stupid Old Channel for free on YouTube. Type in "Do Go On The Quiz Show" and you can see three episodes right now covering topics like Google, Queen Victoria, the Olympics, and we got five more episodes coming up. So like and subscribe, whatever that means.
They are big topics too. And I said Sydney and Melbourne. I meant Sydney and Brisbane. Anyway, let's get on with the show.
I'm still here too.
Oh, hey, Jess.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
A big hello and welcome into Do Go On for another week of Do Go On. My name is Dave Warnocky. Thank God I'm on the right podcast. I'm here with Do Go On co-host Matt Stewart, who is here with Do Go On co-host again, Jess Perkins. Hello.
You're leaving some weird pauses today,
yeah, why,
Dave.
Why those weird pauses, Dave?
I kind of like it.
I just give my words space to breathe.
Yeah.
Like a fine wine.
So they can sink in.
Mullet, swill it, spit it into a spittoon. Do you know that's what the thing you spit in wine
into is called a spittoon?
It's one of the best words ever.
Yeah, good call.
What's your favourite words?
Glockenspiel.
Oh, yes.
Mine is, I mean, I don't have one, so I'm having to think of one right now.
And really? There's a lot of
words
tell.
Out there. How about, I'll give you another one. I really like onomatopoeia, the words.
Yes.
It's a sound. Like, I really like the word plop.
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 No, great word. I don't like plop at all.
Yeah,
no, of course you don't.
You Matt wouldn't.
Of course you don't, because it sounds a bit like poop.
Well, I think that's, yes. I think that's exactly the reason.
I think that's one of the many charms of the word plop.
Agreed.
What about tautology?
Tautology is a great word.
Oh, I thought you were going to say tortilla, which I also
mentioned. Also big fan of tortilla. Nice.
Tortillology.
Tortillology.
What about the River Thames?
Oh,
that's really fun to say.
That is fun, River but Thames. I'm always scared I'm going to say it wrong, so I try not to actually say it in conversation. Luckily, in Melbourne, it doesn't come up a lot.
Doesn't come up.
And I can pronounce Yarra, which is our river.
So you actually avoid saying Thames.
Because I think, because it's not spelt the way it's said.
Yeah, it's spelled Thames.
Yeah, so I'm always scared I'm going to say Thames or Thames.
The British have a funny way with spelling.
So I just don't talk about it.
Which we inherited.
Yes, that's very true.
Because we speak English.
We do. We do.
And we spell English as well.
I'm speaking English right new. Oh, no. Mistake. Rare mistake, though, I will say.
Right new.
Right new. Maybe that is
Scottish. He's still speaking English.
Yeah, UK after all.
Right new.
Right new. Yeah. Wee laddie. All right, great. Hey, is that pause and you guys looking at me meaning you want the question to kick off the show?
Wow, let's get stuck in.
I mean, is that why?
Well, I mean, it would have been nice just to chat a little bit more about our days.
Favorite words.
You had a favorite word already?
Yeah, Glockenspiel.
Glockenspiel.
It's a good one.
What do you like the Spider-Bait song Glockenpop, which is played on the Glockenspiel, I think?
I'm not even sure I know that song.
Well, do yourself a favor.
I might just later on. I'll have a bloody cheeky listen, Broden Kelly.
Oh, hang on.
Oh, not again. He's in every week
he's
now.
He's in all the time.
Dave, you know
he's
what
always,
that means?
He's always
back
with
Nazi
us, though,
Nazi school with
he?
You, mate.
I am not going back to Iceland. That's where I was.
Nazi school, right. That's what they call
it. Oh, no, don't.
taint all of our Icelandic listeners with that brush.
Oh, yeah, no,
that's
I just meant
rude.
That's where you go.
Yeah, don't worry, I'll be editing out those Iceland mentions.
Mentions.
Right. Mentions.
Well, Matt, I may ask you to do go Thames. Oh, no, it happened. I said the word.
Do go oon.
Oon.
Dugoon.
Dugoon.
So it's your turn, Matty Matt Matt. And as per usual, I'm going to assume that you've been working on this for over a week.
You've had over a week, as you always do.
It's true. I mean, I've had my whole life has led up to this moment in a lot of ways. And I mean, and even though I didn't start the report in my teens or earlier, in a lot of ways I was preparing for this report throughout my earlier years.
Correct.
And now I feel like I'm finally ready.
Wow.
And I felt finally ready about 5 hours ago.
Sure, great.
Because I didn't want to start before I was fully ready.
Oh, you mustn't.
No. Like, I woke up early this morning and I'm like, not yet.
No, it's not time.
It's not time. I don't want to muck this up.
So instead you thought, I'll go for a 10K run and then I'll do the report after that.
Which is a weird thought, but it's the thought that came into my mind.
Sure. Hey, it's really nice then to be a part of something so big for you.
Yeah. Look.
Yeah, it's really your whole life has led up to this moment.
And we're
here
for that. Isn't that amazing?
It was the prophecy. Almost,
did you wait for us? Were we foretold?
Did you wait for us?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I didn't know it was you guys particularly, but I knew it was a Dave Warnocky and a Jess Perkins.
It was a type.
Or just someone with those names.
Someone with those names.
There's got to be others. There's heaps of Jess Perkins.
There's a few Dave Warnockys, but
wow.
I'm glad you waited for me.
Yeah, me too.
To be honest, you were the first one that came along, but...
Wow.
I took that as a sign.
I was going to say, that's a sign, though.
Yeah.
If anything...
You don't wait around for the second Dave Warnocky, you know what I mean?
No. If it turns out this episode's no good, the report's no good.
It's because
I haven't
wrong
waited
Dave
long enough.
Wrong Dave Warnocky.
And I wasn't
wrong
ready.
Jess Perkins.
So it's all on me. Or you.
Could be
but
me.
But not on Matt.
Correct.
No, certainly not on me.
If this is terrible, it's anybody's fault except Matt.
It has got nothing to do with me. I wish I could take some responsibility,
I know you do. I can't.
I
know you do.
I can't.
I know you do.
I feel helpless in that way.
I know.
I am excited and also scared to undertake my destiny.
It is your
density. Oh. It's his density.
What's that from? I didn't even mean to quote something.
The word density?
It's your density. It's from Back to the Future.
Great.
Marty McFly's dad says it.
Hey, who was one of the executives behind Back to the Future?
Oh, I believe Michael J. Fox.
Some sort of...
May have been some sort of associate producer.
An associate producer.
An ass prod.
nothing but the best for Michael J.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
But I think there may have been... Sydney Chamber! All right, okay, I'm going to give you permission to start the episode, Matt, because if you don't get going, someone's going to steal your idea. Hey, I've got a million ideas. How about a movie about a guy that does something... In Africa. Everyone's talking about Africa. It's the number one hot continent right now. Am I right? Okay. Get going, Matt Stewart. Okay, I gotta go. I've got to drive a Ferrari. I assume I'm rich.
Okay. Thank you, Cindy. Hey, that's a really great idea. And maybe I'll see if I can work in some Africa, but... I'll see if I can. I think I can. All right, great. I think Africa is mentioned at one point.
Oh, my God. The prophecy.
The Pharaoh's Curse.
The Scheinberg Prophecy.
Oh, can you call this episode The Scheinberg Prophecy? Because that's a great film title.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you think...
I agree, kid. That's a great film title.
Oh, my God. We got Sydney's approval on the title. Fabulous.
That's really good.
That's hard to get because he always changes the titles.
I'm Sydney.
Anyway, hit us with the question then, Stewie.
The question is, Perko, who was the second most famous Churchill in the Second World War?
The second most famous Churchill.
So it's not going to be Winston then.
Winston is out.
Winnie.
Because I would say that he is number one.
Agreed.
And there is only one other Churchill that I can think of.
I can't think of any other Churchills.
Is it Clive Churchill?
No.
I think that might
That's
be a cricketer. I think it's a cricketer.
I think he was a cricketer from the 70s.
Is it Charlotte Churchill?
No.
Ah.
Churchill. What's it? Is anyone else called Churchill?
I don't know another Churchill.
This one's out of the hat. I had never heard of this guy.
Are they related to Winston? Is it
not,
his son?
Not related. It was thought at one point, and that is in the story, but no, he's not related.
I do not know who this is.
And he may well not be the second most famous, because he's obviously not particularly famous.
No, but that's a great question.
I couldn't think of any other.
Of the Second World War, specifically.
Yeah, his main claim to fame was during the Second World War. Just he was a real he was a bit of a player.
Oh,
anyway,
a cricket player?
Yes,
yeah.
A Clively player.
Clive-like player. Clively.
Clively. I think you're going to tell me a name that I've never heard.
His name, as it was suggested to us, Captain Crazy Jack Churchill.
Captain Crazy.
Which I didn't see him referred to as much in my readings. He got the nickname Mad Jack Churchill.
Fuck, that's a great name.
Oh, Mad Jack.
Have you heard of this guy?
No, I haven't. That's a fantastic name, though.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't give it to himself.
Sure.
Some other soldiers did, apparently.
Well, you can't give yourself nicknames. Trust me, I've tried.
Some of his subordinates. What was your attempt?
I don't remember.
Oh, have we talked about mine before? Cobra. In year 8, one week, I was like, don't call me Dave. Call me Cobra.
That's a terrible nickname.
It's a fucking great nickname for a 14-year-old child. The size of me.
Look at you.
I am the Cobra. Enter the Cobra.
Look, I don't mind it. It would need a reason.
Yeah.
And you would have had to have not come up with it.
Yeah.
And then maybe it could have happened.
I spit venom into people's eyes.
Yeah, sure. That's a good reason.
Great.
So now you've just got to work back from there.
So I've got to start spitting.
Yes. Firstly.
Okay.
Then you've got to get some venom.
Oh, fuck.
I mean, you don't actually have to start spitting before you get the venom, but maybe it's a nice way of working up to it.
Good practice.
Yeah.
You don't go from 0 to 100 and 100 representing venom.
Spat venom.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
All right, Cobra.
Captain Crazy Jack Churchill.
Yes.
Who suggested this topic? Because I love it already.
It was sent in off Twitter by a man named Steve, who is at Shades909 or at ShadeS909. I'm not sure how he...
It'd be so good if he tweets back and he's like, it is Sade, yes, actually. Thank you for finally pronouncing
that
correctly.
We often do get people tweeting and saying, hey, love that you chose my topic, but that is not how you say my name.
Yeah, and really every week, I reckon.
What's the one that you got, Matt, recently? It was like...
I mentioned a listener... Oh, I'm going to fuck it up again.
I think you said Ali, but it's Eli.
It's Eli.
Eli. I don't know, how do you fuck up Eli?
Yeah,
it's a common name.
I was saying a while ago about how... Was I saying that on this podcast? How we...
How many podcasts are you on, champ?
How we in Melbourne have swapped E's and A sounds.
Apparently. Oh, yes. With a helicopter, you were saying.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah,
yeah. And helicopter.
Yeah. Which I think now that I'm aware of it, I'm trying not to do that.
I've never noticed.
But I think I might have done that with Ali and Eli. Oh, boy.
So, Sade S.
And so he must have been like, oh, poor Australia. Because this American guy, oh, poor Australia.
Oh, you little cuties.
He's like, you had to spell Eli phonetically for me.
E... Lie.
That's
fun.
That's a hot new take.
Yeah, anyway.
On a three-letter name.
I'm going to go drown myself in the Thames. I fucked up saying it wrong.
That's what I'm... Oh.
Thames. God damn it.
You got it half right.
Yeah, well, oh boy. All right,
see, that's what I'm worried about that I'll do, so I don't talk about that river.
Thames. Look, we know what you mean.
Maybe they'd come and call it the Yarra, you know?
Great. And well, that's Americans call Melbourne Melbourne, which is outspelt, so it makes sense.
Yeah, but it's like a third degree burn, not Jason Bourne. It's Melbourne.
But it's
actually Melbourne.
It's actually
like B-I-N.
Yeah, we say like B-I-N. Like,
Melbourne.
we can't even pronounce our own bloody town.
We live in a bin.
But if they said Melbourne,
so
I'd still be like, yeah, better Bourne. Than,
yeah,
better
they
than
do
Melbourne.
Go Bourne. They put an... Is there... But there is an O in there, isn't
oh,
there?
Oh, fucking hell, Matthew.
Is there?
Yes.
So
did you just forget
the Bourne identity?
Did you just
Bourne.
Forget how to spell the city that we live in and have lived in for our entire lives?
Look, I moved here when I was 5, so
fuck off.
Where'd you move from? I never knew this development.
Moved from Charlton, country Victoria.
Oh. How far away from Melbourne is that?
It's about 2.5 hours.
2.5 hours. You can still pronounce Melbourne. You
wasn't
fucking
aware of it as a college.
My first word was...
I wish that was on purpose.
My first word was Melbourne. It's been hard to recover, I must admit.
Melbourne.
Melbourne. Anyway.
It's kind of fun. Anyway.
This is just a little fun fact for
anyway.
Our American listeners. If you ever come to Australia, just say Melbourne and then we'll already like you.
No, I can't. I like it when they fuck it up.
I
it's
don't.
Fun. It's good
well,
fun.
They're
one
not
thing.
Fucking it up. They're just saying it in their accent, which is
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, they're just pronouncing it phonetically.
But pander to
it.
Us and say it in our accent. Not in our accent.
Don't
mimic
pander,
us to us.
Pander,
God, it's hard, isn't it? Jeez.
Well, there's one
pander.
Thing I'm confident about, and that is that we're probably saying Steve right. So this episode...
suggested on Twitter by Steve.
Unless he comes back, he's like, my name is Steve.
And is
it's actually possible.
We're also giving Americans pronunciation. Oh, boy. We're also giving Americans shit about how they pronounce our city. Like, why would they know anyway? But...
Exactly.
You've heard previous weeks Dave and I butchering the American accent, you know, so...
Yeah, but then Americans have come back and said they loved it.
Yeah, because they're much nicer people than us.
They are much nicer people than us.
They're being very generous.
They're being very kind, as they always are, and we value them as people and listeners and friends.
Yeah, I think of them as friends.
Mostly, yeah, I go friends first, I reckon.
I say comrades.
Oh, okay, that sort of makes it feel like we're all in this together.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's right.
In Russia, together.
Are we in this together in Russia?
Oh, yeah. We're in Moscow right now.
Very nice. Mad Jack Churchill was born...
Yeah, it's like such an exciting topic name, and then we talked about something else. I'm really keen.
Mad Jack Churchill was born John Malcolm Thorpe Fleming Churchill...
Oh, very good indeed.
...in Ceylon in 1906. His father was working there.
What year was it?
1906.
A good year.
A good year. And when you say Ceylon...
That's my line.
Ceylon.
No, it's mine!
As in former Sri Lanka, Ceylon?
Yes, that's right. British Ceylon, now Sri Lanka.
Awesome. In 1906, great. A wonderful year.
Great year, I must admit.
For cheese, wine, and Mad Jack.
Oh, yeah, right. Mad Jack. Yeah, it sounded like a different word.
Mad Jack.
Mad Jack. So, yeah, he was born there, but very soon after the family moved back to Surrey in England, like the next year or something like that. Father was moving around a bit. I think then the year after that, maybe they went to Hong Kong for a little while and then back to England again.
Just traveling.
Yeah, just working. I mean, the British Empire was still a thing back then.
Mm-hmm.
And they owned a lot of stuff. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
They were, you know, you remember.
Oh, yeah, I was there.
Yeah.
As she said, a good year.
It was a good year.
He had two brothers, Thomas Bell Lindsay Churchill Robert Alec Farquhar Churchill.
Okay.
Only reason I mentioned the brothers was because of Farquhar.
To get a Farquhar.
Because I was automatically going to be like, nah, Robert's got the shittest name. Just because it was like Robert, it wasn't as interesting. But then he had Farquhar.
And I think his nickname was Buster.
Fuck, yes.
Buster Fox.
I so badly want a good nickname. And like a nickname that I get called so often that then people meet me and are introduced to me by that nickname and then years later go, what's her actual name?
Yeah.
People
don't know.
People don't know my actual name.
That's amazing.
I want a nickname that's so convincing. Not convincing, but like so good that I get called it by everyone.
Well, I reckon we can make it happen.
I don't know if we can.
Bop. I tried Bop.
Bop's not bad.
Early on.
Bop. Yeah.
Bopper.
Bop's cute. I like Bop.
Okay, we'll try and make that a thing. Hashtag Bob.
Hashtag Bob.
Well, you didn't really commit there, Dave.
Should I start?
I guess we'll try and make that a thing.
Should I start getting like comedy rooms to put me on posters as Bop Perkins?
Oh, no, Jess.
Too many P's.
Jess Bop Perkins.
It's too many P's.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Bop Perkins is hard.
I mean, it will help people laugh at you.
Yeah, that's what we want.
What about your Bop Behind Perkins? So when you say it quickly, it sounds like Bop Perkins. Bop Perkins.
Yeah.
Just like Bo Perkins.
Welcome to the stage, Jess Bo Perkins. Everyone's like, what?
What? Anyway.
I'm starting to wonder if you guys don't even want to hear about me.
I don't. I want to just workshop some nickname ideas and then I want to go home.
I am very keen to hear about Farquhar, Bell and Mad Jack Perkins.
Yeah.
No.
Mad Jack.
Triple. Mad Jack.
So those two brothers, Tom, also, they were both... So the two brothers also served their country. Tom became a major general in the army.
Oh.
And Robert, I think, Buster, died for his country.
Oh, wow.
Off the coast of Malta during Operation Pedestal. Seems like a pretty good operation.
It sounds like one that you wouldn't want to give your life up for. Like this, you know, Operation Barbarossa. Oh, that sounds cool. Operation Pedestal.
Pedestal. And it was just them going to get a pedestal back.
Behind enemy lines.
But he fell over. I got gangrene.
Oh, wow.
Which developed into smallpox somehow.
Oh, no.
That's and a nasty...
He got shot in the head.
Shot in the head?
Yep. By his own pistol.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just let that sink in. What an image we're painting.
We don't know heaps about his younger years for Mad Jack, but we do know he graduated from the Royal Military College in 1926 and served in Burma with the Manchester Regiment.
He would have been 20 years old then because he was born in 1906, which was a good year.
Which was a good year. 26 also a good year.
Right.
During this time in Burma, he enjoyed getting around on his motorbike. He had an old school motorbike. I guess they all weren't back then. Probably new school.
Probably quite modern at the time.
Oh, look.
State of the art.
Yeah.
Now, at one point, he went on a solo ride for 1,500 miles. Which
that's a long way.
Dave, what's that? What's 1.6 times 1,500?
2,400.
2,400 Ks. It's quite a long
That's a lot of Ks.
Trip. I believe.
Fuck, that's actually, yeah, that's a lot.
And apparently somewhere near, for some reason, everything about him, like, shares the same main stories. And they're all slightly, you know, so I'm guessing maybe they all came from the same source material.
Mm-hmm.
But he, on this ride, towards the end of it, he came off second best in a collision with a water buffalo.
Oh, no.
It's mentioned a lot.
Wow.
He hit a water buffalo.
I don't think anyone does good in that collision.
The water buffalo, probably.
Oh, yeah, probably just shook it off.
So, ow.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah, huh?
That's the noise I would imagine it would make.
One of the things he's famous for is his bagpipe playing.
Very good. Very good.
The plot thickens.
Who is this man?
That'd make an amazing noise when he hits this buffalo and lands on his back. That's how people knew where he was and they could track him down and give him medical attention.
Yeah, it saved his life.
First and last time a bagpipe has ever saved a life.
He got into the into bagpiping during this time in Burma.
As you do.
He studied
the local culture.
Well, British. They're like, our culture is the culture.
Yeah.
Let's take it everywhere.
You like bagpipes now.
Yeah. And cricket. And he studied under the pipe major of the Cameron Highlanders and got pretty good.
Wow, is that an official rank?
That's an official rank, yeah.
The buffalo still dying over there?
Yeah, it's a buffalo.
Still dying.
I would never disrespect the bagpipes, but a water buffalo, fuck them off.
Worst animal I've seen in a while.
Ever seen a quokka? They're adorable.
Oh, I haven't.
You got to check them out.
You got to check them out.
They don't look real, quokkas.
Yeah, they smile. Their natural face is a smile. I love them.
They look like a
fucking love them.
Character out of that squirrel cartoon.
Yeah. That squirrel cartoon.
Secret Squirrel?
Just say yes.
The Avengers?
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
Yep.
Did you just confuse Robert Downey Jr. with a squirrel?
Wait, the Avengers, and I said the Advengers. Is that a different thing?
No.
No, what about the two squirrels? There's Chippendale Rescue Rangers.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's a thing from the olden days.
Was that before Dave and I were born?
Was that from 1926,
probably. To be honest, it probably was.
There we go. That's why we wouldn't know, because we're young. So we wouldn't be aware of that.
I mean, it's all relative, right?
Yeah, and relative to your age, we are young.
Yeah, in comparison to you, we're state of the art. That's all I'm saying.
I'm old school.
It's weird that he does his reports on a typewriter, but it's kind of endearing.
It is, and it makes a beautiful sound.
It's gorgeous. It's very distracting.
Please, just tick away.
It takes a lot of work to edit it out, to be honest.
He also edits the podcast on a typewriter somehow.
He was a real unique guy. It's just a red pen, Jess. It's not that hard. He was quite a unique character. That's kind of why he's sort of some of the reason why he's famous is because he was a bit of an oddball, you know, marched to the beat of his own drum, so to speak.
Oh yeah, I know a couple of those. Hey,
really? You got to tell me more later on. And obviously that's a bit weird in the army. In the army, they're trying to make everyone...
Yeah, they're trying to make you follow orders.
Yeah.
You're meant to follow the rules, follow orders, whatever. He got reprimanded for some weird things like using a hot water bottle at one point.
Sure.
No, your feet must be cold.
What the hell is that about? But
I don't like hot water bottles. Controversial opinion.
I worry that they'll break and burn me.
Yeah. And I also don't like being warm. I get like too warm in one patch.
And it doesn't spread.
But I've always been a, ever since I stopped wetting the bed, hello, sorry to brag.
So 2 weeks ago,
I'm like, who's going to do it?
Matt looked at me like, got are you going to say that? Yeah,
you still wet the bed, you dumb bitch. Oh, I got it.
Your words, not mine.
They were my words. Anyway, I've always had electric blankets.
Huh.
They just make the whole bed toasty. Hang on.
If you wet the bed, can you not have an electric blanket? Because
that makes sense.
Can it hurt you?
Really?
What? Oh, now I'm scared of electric blankets.
What if you sweat the bed?
When was the last time you wet the bed?
Yeah, but like I obviously, when was the last time I broke a water bottle and burnt myself? That never happens. Sure. I just worry about that one million.
Look,
imagine
sure,
if you had a hot water bottle that burst while you had an electric blanket.
And then it caused me to piss myself.
Because your hand was in it, in that old wives' tale scenario.
Wives' tale?
But
does that not work? Putting
I
your hand in water?
I didn't wake up from the. I didn't wake up from the boiling water.
You didn't wake up from any of it.
Didn't wake up from the electrocution. I'll tell you that.
Jeez, we've got a lot of thoughts going on.
Too many, maybe.
I want to hear about Mad Jack.
Why was I talking about a hot water bottle?
Because he was reprimanded for having one.
Yes, so I was sort of on topic-ish.
Another time, he appeared on parade, obviously with the army, and he was carrying an umbrella. Which apparently is a big no-no in the army, just bringing your own umbrella on a march when you're parading.
But there was forecast for showers.
When his superior asked him what the hell he thought he was doing, Churchill replied, because it's raining, sir.
Well, he just sounds like he's prepared. He's got a hot water bottle for the cold. He's got a rain, umbrella for the rain.
He's organized.
The question would be, why not?
But that's admirable.
What were you thinking? What were you thinking?
I was thinking it's raining.
When you put petrol in a petrol-powered car.
What were you thinking?
It was forecast to rain, sir. Fair enough.
Fair enough, carry on.
Can't argue with that, mate.
Chin, chin.
So we served for 10 years before quitting in 1936.
How does one quit?
I believe, it wasn't super clear, but I felt like he was just... Like he mucked up a test to get a higher rank. I'd sort of read a bit ambiguously. I was wondering if maybe he did it on purpose.
Yeah.
Because there is a theory that he, this was during peacetime. It was between the two world wars and he was a bit bored of that.
Sure.
He wanted some action. So
he started the Second World War.
Is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Along with Dave's mate.
Undercover, he killed Archduke Franz Ferdinand.
That's World War One.
Fuck. Undercover, he... He financed Hitler's rise to power under the cover of darkness one night. He went into Hitler's room, lights out, and he just slipped
money into his
mattress. Couple hundred bucks into his bedside
drawer. There we go. There we go, mate.
Yep. This will tide you over.
Make it happen.
But he quit. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, he quit.
I was just wondering if you have to give 2 weeks notice or... That's all.
I think it is tricky. I have a friend who really struggled to get, he found that he didn't want to be in there and it was hard.
I reckon it would be. What happened? That's what I mean. I reckon it would be really hard.
Potentially they can make you stay.
Yeah. And that's a bit scary, isn't it?
Which is no, but I quit.
Yeah, I don't want to be
in a free country, Australia. Well,
but you wouldn't think that you would want somebody to be at work if they don't want to be there.
Totally.
Because then it's going to be useless.
I reckon if you prove that over time.
Yeah.
The problem is if they think you'd be a really good soldier, they're going to make it hard for you to leave and hope you bend their way.
Yeah.
But if you definitely don't want to do it, eventually maybe, if you'd make a good soldier, if you're all right, I'll fall into line eventually because you've made it so hard.
Mm.
So I guess they make it as hard as possible. I don't know.
Yeah, I like to think that if I quit, they'd be like, oh, thank God, you are no good.
They definitely would accept. I've heard of other people who are I'm not into this. And they're like, yeah, you're not right for it.
Bye.
Thanks for stopping by.
I think they'd be relieved that both of us were gone.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. You fluked the test somehow. Yeah.
What scenario are you guys feeling like you should be joining the army?
What scenario? Out of the three of us, who would be the best soldier?
Well, Matt's too old.
I'm a lady.
I had to get in there. So you're saying you're out because you're a lady. They don't accept female soldiers. That's right. Matt's too old and I am perfect.
I would say... Oh, I don't know. I reckon maybe Dave.
The best? Really?
You're so small, you'd fit into enemy bases easily?
No.
What am I being fired out of a gun?
He'd struggle his way through basic training and then have a desk job.
Oh, no. What Dave would be is...
An associate producer.
Associate producer
Captain
of
America
war.
Before the serum.
Yes. Oh, my God, yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen
it. No, but that's good. It's a good thing.
Yeah, you get the secret soldier serum. So you're really good and you get through all the challenges.
Well, no, he doesn't.
Even though you're smaller.
He doesn't
find
really,
different ways to do it. Like, he has to get the flag down, and everyone else is trying to climb the pole, but he pulls out a bolt, and the pole comes down. And he just
do you think of it because it was on TV the other night?
No, I'm thinking of it because I think about it all the time.
I watched it the other day. I love Captain America. And the reason that he is chosen is because of his excellent morals. Like, he's a good person. He has a good heart.
He helps people, and he doesn't cheat.
And he doesn't back down.
But he thinks his way through things.
Yeah, so it's a good thing.
But he's super weak.
Physically
he's
very
like
weak.
A small, ill...
ill-looking person.
And so he's like getting rejected.
It does sound a lot like you described every trait I have.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I've never
so
really...
it's a good thing.
I've never thought about being Captain America.
But well, no, we're not offering.
I'll give it a... I accept.
Well, no, Dave, you misunderstand.
When do I start?
Oh, no, Jess. No. I think we should give him a shot.
All right, Captain America.
Pass me the injecting thingo.
Let's inject him.
Yeah.
All right.
That's
great. Here's the serum.
But the reason I ask as well, what reminded me about like quitting jobs, because I've had lots of jobs in my time. About, I think I'm up to 11 or 12 jobs.
Wow.
I've had a lot of jobs. I have commitment issues with jobs. And I was recently writing a resignation letter.
You've had 3 jobs in the last month, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not wrong.
4 if you count the stand-up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I currently say I work 4 jobs. Anyway, and I was writing a resignation letter recently, and I asked my mum to have a look at it just to make sure it was okay. And she went, "Yeah, it's perfect." And then patted me on the back and said, "You're getting quite good at this."
Oh, no.
That's very good.
I was like, well played. Sweet, well played, mum.
Sweet Melbourne, mum.
Oh, she's so good.
Oh, she tames you good. Oh,
oh no. Anyway, let's get back to the report.
So he's quit, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's had his first stint in the army, because obviously I said
he started
famous
the second
for
world
being
war.
In the Second World War. So
oh.
he gets back there eventually. Little sizzle.
Yeah, I was
going
to say a bit of a tease.
But in between, after leaving the army, he had a crack at being a newspaper editor in Nairobi, Kenya. Africa.
Hello.
Oh, there it is.
I love that. It makes the world sound so small back then. Like, yeah. he's bouncing around. He's been in.
And he's not trained
Ceylon,
for the job at all.
England, Burma, Hong Kong in between that. Now in Africa. Yeah, he went to army school.
And it makes the world seem smaller, yet it takes a lot longer back then to get anywhere.
Well, that's the thing, but I feel like some of the reports we've done recently that have talked about, you know, the olden days and people moving around, it feels like they almost travelled more.
Yeah, it does.
It's like we travel less now. Or maybe I think we holiday more now because it is quicker to get around places. I mean, it still takes forever to get anywhere from Australia. But I think like it's easier for us to just go visit, but we don't move and live.
I reckon we're
maybe we do.
I reckon the people we talk about are like a 1% type of...
Absolutely.
Yeah, we do talk about like amazing lives a lot more than
so
the
that
average.
Makes sense, yeah.
So that... maybe it's something to do
with. All right, disregard everything I just said. It was just an interesting point.
He didn't last long, though. I think he might have found that a bit boring, a bit dull as well. He also had a crack at some modelling work. He did...
What?
He modelled for some magazine ads.
Is he a bit of a looker?
Not the photos that I've seen, but...
And this is...
People look different back then.
Sure.
And he's in his
30s.
A
weird, different look.
Yeah, 30s, so yuck.
No, it's weird to debut... Oh, no. Sorry, Matt. But it is weird to debut as a model in your 30s, right?
But hey, Matt, you can have dreams, buddy.
You got potential.
I don't know what kind of magazines these were, what kind of ads they were for. They could have been for dentures or something.
Sexy magazines.
Oh, I could have been...
Yeah, you could do denture ads, I reckon. Yeah, that's all you have to do with the ad. Just smile. You can smile.
But
can
you have to
give
be,
me a smile
you
now?
Have to use dentures?
Give me a smile. Oh, no good. All right, maybe not. Give me a straight, like a sultry face. Give me like, oh, that's bad. No, you look like you're pooping. That's no good.
Oh, oh. No.
Oh, plop. old plop over here.
Do poo on.
Poo go on.
I will not.
Do poo on.
On.
Okay,
safe.
Yeah, you're right.
On.
What?
Do poo on what?
Hmm?
He also picked up some bit parts in films. He had a friend in Hollywood.
It's all about who you know.
Wow.
And he was in films like The Drum, which had a role that called on the ability
to play bagpipes.
Yes!
He's like the professional bagpiper.
Yeah, so he's a pretty handy pipist.
I'm happy with that.
In the summer of 1938, Churchill came second in the officers' class of the piping championships in Aldershot. And it was seen as being quite an amazing effort because he was the only Englishman in a field of over 70 pipers, nearly all of them being Scots.
Oh, that really? They were Scottish?
But he was he's the only Englishman coming second.
Yeah, so that pissed some people off, apparently.
So bagpipes are quite popular in Scotland.
Yeah, they've got a little connection.
Do they?
Yeah.
There's a niche.
Do they in there?
Well, I don't know why you're making such a bloody big song.
Do they have that there?
I mean, you were there last year, right? You might have noticed a couple in the tourist shops you walked past.
I was there 2 months ago.
2 months ago.
Last year, 2 months ago, similar.
I was there last year.
You were there last year.
I get you and I confused.
Everybody does.
So you're second. That's pretty good.
Yes. Yeah, quite good. I mean, I was saying it like it was good. You're saying like, I mean, he didn't win, but...
No,
so I was saying, look how good it was. He's an English guy. Look, I'm trying to give him a little bit of.
Does sound like a backhanded compliment. You're good for an Englishman.
Yeah, it's kind of like you're funny for a lady.
It's weird when people say that to me. It's weird.
I get so offended for you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
During the years he spent outside of the army, he also worked on another skill of his that he became a little famous for.
Oh God, is it sex?
I was going to say wanking.
I'd rather be better at sex, to be honest.
No, good call.
I mean,
Let's guess some skills then. What could he have gotten good at?
Motorbike riding.
Sword play.
He was riding his bikes, but I've already mentioned that. He is famous for his sword, but that's not what it is.
He's famous for his sword, is he? It is sex. You're right. Yeah, I reckon it's sex.
His sword play is second to none.
Sword play.
Can we have a clue? I like guessing things.
It's a weapon.
Okay.
Is he good at shooting?
Archery.
Yes. Archery.
Yes! Oh,
that is awesome. This guy rules.
So he picked that up after returning from Burma. So he's only been doing it for a little while.
Sure.
And his expertise with the bow and arrow scored him a couple more film gigs where he'd play an archer or whatnot. And then he shot for Britain at the World Championships in Oslo in 1939.
What?
Wow. So within only a handful of years.
He's representing country.
Yeah. He's crazy. He's a bit like Casanova in that he just does things and does them well.
And he just, some people get really, I wonder if he's the obsessive type or just the naturally good type.
Yeah,
I think, good call, yeah.
I reckon it's a bit of...
A bit of column A, a bit of column B. Yeah.
So in 1939, Dave, you'd know why that year's pretty famous, Jess.
It was a good year. For wine.
You know what that
cheese. And Dave's friend, Hitler. Right.
To the birth of John Lennon. No, that's 1940.
We haven't mentioned Dave's love of Hitler yet. So yes, 1939, Dave. Sorry, I wasn't listening to you there, Jess. But
the year of the... the first year of the Second World War.
That's right. Could just say it's when the Second World War started, you fucking weirdo.
Yeah, he did say that weird.
Well, I talked over you, so no.
It's basically, after Germany invades Poland,
mm-hmm.
Jack's ears prick up and he's like, oh, maybe it's time to get back in that old armed forces.
Oh,
AKA the army.
Oh.
Because he's been looking for a fight the whole time, hasn't he?
Yeah, he wants some action.
That's what army's short for, right?
And he's been doing a lot of fucking.
Army.
But now he wants a different type of action.
With his bow and arrow, so to speak.
Bow.
Oh, God, I hope he uses it in the fight. That'd
his
be pretty
boner
amazing.
And arrow.
So, it was right there.
It's right there.
That's why you're the best.
Best in the biz.
So he re-enlisted with the British Army and...
please let me back. Go on. No, please.
All right, then. Water bottle.
I know you quit, but... All right. Yeah, actually, they're pretty desperate when the war starts.
Yeah.
So
totally, yeah.
They'd probably just let him in.
Taking all comers.
And it just gets more and more desperate. They keep lowering the minimum height throughout the war.
Oh, wow.
It's like, you got to be 5'10". No, 5'8". 5'6". All right, if you are above 5 feet, you can be in the army. Yeah.
Dave's in.
Children? All right, you're in.
All right. Well, in Germany, yeah, they were signing out like 13, 14-year-olds by the end. Because they were just like, we need people.
Far out.
Yeah. Awful.
Yeah. This isn't a pro-war podcast, Dave. That's what you're trying to do. Oh, yeah. Stop it with your propaganda.
Yes.
Start trying to sign up kids to the war effort.
Definitely against child soldiers.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
And I'm on the record. Because I have to be with all of these things.
It's funny where he draws a line.
Yeah, it is. I mean, your whole way of life, they used to be fine with it. The Nazis.
He's not a Nazi.
Thank you.
He sympathizes with them.
No!
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Right, sorry. I do forget that distinction sometimes.
It's a very important one to make.
Yep.
Dave, I'm so sorry about
him. I have no sympathy for the Nazi.
I am so sorry about Matt.
That will be the title of my autobiography. I feel no sympathy for the Nazi. Because...
And other fun stories. Yeah. By Dave Warnicki.
Volume 1. It's a 7-part series.
I love a bold, wowzers. I love a bold title like that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's pretty bold. And then by the end, twist... He does sympathise with another.
Yeah, that is a good
he
twist.
Was, he was being tongue-in-cheek the whole time. It was ironic.
Oh, yeah, that's very good.
He was being ironic.
I don't know. I don't know about this.
Oh, jeez Louise.
He rejoined the army and his old Manchester regiment and was sent right into the thick of it in France pretty much straight away.
He would have loved it.
What's the French word for the thick of it, Dave?
Oh. Do not make me repeat myself. Oh. All right, I will.
It's not hard.
I will send you out to the... Oh. Oh. That sounds nasty.
He later said that he rejoined the army as Britain had got into a jam in my absence.
A strawberry?
Like, while I was off.
So he reckons that the Second World War only started because he wasn't in the British army.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Otherwise, the Germans would have been like, you know what, we're not going to invade Poland in case that crazy Jack guy comes over here.
I made a delightful preserve joke that our listeners may have heard and may have enjoyed, and just didn't want to let that go unnoticed. So now I've acknowledged it. Hopefully they enjoyed. If they didn't, rewind 15 seconds. You'll hear that again. And Matt, do go on.
I'm editing it out.
Oh!
Yeah, hit back all you like.
Mad Jess Perkins. he was there when Germany was sort of smashing through Holland, Belgium, and France.
He was there for that.
He was there. That's when he was right there in the bloody guts of it. So we're talking like May 1940. By this stage, he was working his way up through the chain of command up, and he'd become second in command of an infantry company.
Wow.
The Germans were pushing the Allied forces back and back where he was. But Churchill continued to be aggressive, often leading small groups of soldiers against the advancing Germans in counterattacks, right? And this is part of the reason why he's a bit famous, because he's got this image, right? He's been described as almost like a medieval figure. He's fronting his men, carrying the bow and arrow and a sword.
No.
When they just weren't really used by the army. He just had he brought a few of his own.
He BYO.
Bits and pieces, yeah.
BYO sword and bow and arrow. Well, everyone else has got machine guns.
Yeah.
Nice.
This is a quote that came up a lot. He said this later on. He goes, "Any officer who goes into action without his sword is improperly dressed."
That's just not true.
Wow.
That's simply not true.
I'd say that.
Maybe, why are you lying to us?
Maybe substitute sword for helmet.
Yeah, or like pants.
Or yeah, pants. Yeah.
You need
pants
those.
Pants is probably the first bit.
Shoes. Probably yeah. Pop on some shoes. You don't know what's on the ground. You could step on some glass or
pants
something.
Pants then, or trousers, and then shoes.
They're the two most important?
Then shirt.
Uh-huh.
Then
or
sword.
Or is that the order that you get dressed in
then
the day?
Then jumper.
In the
then bow and arrow. then helmet.
Shh, okay.
That's how I, that's, look, I don't think it's an exact science. Oh.
Serious question. When you get dressed in the morning, what do you put on first?
My undergarments.
Interesting choice.
Out of the shower?
Very interesting choice.
I think so, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Feels weird being, having like top done before the bottom's done.
Yeah, I think so too. I've never thought about it, but I assume I do pants first for that exact reason.
Yeah, I think that I'm the
feels
same.
Weird having your top bit... sorted and then adding bottoms.
Uh-oh.
Here we go. Here we go.
Possibly controversial. For me, it goes under pants.
Yes.
T-shirt, then pants. Interesting. Or trousers.
Is it because you choose the T-shirt first? Like, that's the T-shirt I want to wear today.
And then you build an outfit around
it. You add pants later.
Yeah, cause I know, well, yeah. And I know when I'm going with my pants, it's either black or blue.
Sure.
But the T-shirt, it could be any of up to 5 different colours.
Wowzers. What are the colours?
Blue.
Uh-huh.
Yellow.
Right.
Green.
Sure.
Red.
Uh-huh.
Beige.
Interesting. Five. Interesting.
Those are the big 5.
The big 5. The big 5 in the fashion world.
So you don't wear black or
you
white
want to
on top?
Reveal under your
yeah, what do you got?
Jumper there.
Oh, he's got a combo.
None of the 5 colours I mentioned.
5 different colours.
I've got a
mustard.
A tricolour thing going on. There's a, what?
Charcoal. Brown and black.
All right. On Sundays, I like to reserve for charcoal, brown, and black outwear.
Fair enough.
If our listeners could let us know when we go too far with the self-indulgent fashion talk.
They can't let us know because we've already done it.
Yeah, well,
and so by the time they listened, it's too late.
Jess, they can let us know.
It's too late. And you love it, listeners. You love to hear what Dave's wearing.
Yeah, come on.
Most of the tweets are, what are you wearing, Dave?
Yeah, they are.
You sexy bastard.
They name me.
I was really just setting that up so I could now go home and create a fake account and tweet in saying, we've heard enough about Dave's fucking T-shirt.
Is it because you want to go on with your report?
Yeah.
All right. Well,
a bit antsy.
Then do go on.
All right. There was a quote in someone's war diary of the time, which is this is just me.
Just a diary, probably.
It's a war diary.
Okay.
It's like, you know, like if you had a diary... In the middle of, say, like a basketball game, it'd be a basketball diary.
Is this a deer diary or just just like a schedule?
A deer diary would be if someone had a diary in the middle of a deer.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Somehow.
Right, I'm up
which
to that.
Is
I'm up to
unlikely.
That.
Okay. So a quote in this war diary said, one of the most reassuring sights of the embarkation from Dunkirk was the sight of Captain Churchill passing down the beach with his bow and arrows. His high example and his great work were a great help to the 4th Infantry Brigade.
Wow, I just want to say there's no way he's surviving 5 more years of this. Right? Come on. No spoilers.
Matt genuinely doesn't know. He hasn't finished the report. All right.
Reading about him a little bit, because, you know, that's sort of just like, so his side loves the sight of him. They walk taller when they see him around, because he's just this guy who's just out the front. And at some point I read his son was saying that he put himself in more danger than people of his rank normally did throughout the war. They'd normally be back filling out
reports,
all right, yeah,
barking orders. But this guy's old school, like, leading. I mean,
he's
saying there's going to be some war people out there going, that's not right. This is as I understand it. He's the one who's literally the first man out, charging ahead, holding his sword aloft.
See, I'd be the opposite.
Yelling war
crimes. I'd be the absolute opposite. I'd be like, guys, I would love to go. Seriously, nothing would make me happier than to go. But I have so much paperwork to do.
Bloody snowed
and they,
under.
Bloody, the boss, the big dogs.
Upstairs.
They are just...
HQ.
They will not let me go. And I want to. Is that my phone ringing? Just excuse me. And then I run away.
Out of the war.
I run out of the war. I don't know how I got there in the first place.
Yeah.
I would just say I left the oven on.
A lot of weird...
Oh, fuck, that's great.
Can't argue with that one. Sorry, guys. I left the oven on back in England.
I've got to go.
My God.
I've got to go.
This is bad. And I've got a Peking duck in there. And I like it crispy, but this is going to get
ridiculous.
I'm not crazy. I'm not fucking crazy. I'm mad. And I'm also Crazy Jack, but I'm not clinically crazy.
More like endearing nickname crazy, but I'm not crazy. Nah, I mean. All right. Catch you on the flip-flop.
Back to the duck.
As the allies continue...
Hashtag back to the duck.
It's just another example of Jess talking over me.
Please do go on, Matt.
You piece of shit.
As the Allies continued to retreat at the
Matt, you're doing a great job. This is really fun. I love your podcast.
As the Allies continued to retreat at the might of the German army, Churchill took command of his company when his commander was wounded. And so now he was in charge. He started practicing some guerrilla tactics, you know, taking small groups of soldiers on raids and that sort
eating
of stuff.
Lots of bananas.
Terrible. But I love it. I love it so much.
That is not the worst that we've done, even in this episode. Like, but that's the first time we've ever...
Gorilla.
We've ever shut someone down for their
I'm
shit
so
joke.
Sorry.
Gorilla,
I'm so
like sorry. The animal.
I'm so sorry.
Nah.
That is not on. That is not on.
But I love it.
That is not...
Would a gorilla be a primate?
No, that was fun, though. Who did that?
That was me and Dave shat on me for
it. Oh, no, you do it a bit. That was funny. Dave, you got a bit of a rap sheet. You got a bit of a rap sheet. It's adding up.
It's almost like I'm the podcast bad boy.
Nah, it's
I'm
not
too...
like that.
I don't think that's it.
It's more like you're the podcast bad friend.
Well, you're the podcast teacher's pet, but there's no teacher, so it's, like, it's so weird.
The listener is my teacher.
What?
That's right. I'm
That's
sucking
so
up
confusing.
To you, listeners. I'm taking down these bullies.
What are they teaching
we're
you?
We're not bullying. We're telling jokes. It's literally our jobs.
Did you hear that, teacher? Did you hear that? Yeah. Yeah, I'm taking notes as well. You're on report, Perkins.
Oh, fuck.
You're going to... You get two more of these, you got an after-school detention.
I don't want after-school detention.
Yeah. And Matt, consider yourself warned. No more drinking beer at school.
He's always drinking beer.
I wasn't making any reference to
I know. That. Sorry. But Matt is... Oh, now he's having a swill.
He's having another beer.
Having a swill.
He's having a swill. Not a swig. A swill.
Swill.
Hey, Matt.
Yes.
Do go on.
One attack that Churchill led, he signaled his attack by shooting a Nazi sergeant through the chest with a barbed arrow.
Oh my God.
Wait until you see the barbed arrow go into the Nazi's chest. That is the command.
That's the signal.
You won't believe what happens.
Oh, wait for my signal. Oh no, what happens next?
Oh no, that was just... Oh. I thought we were doing clickbait stuff.
They've already downloaded.
they've baited. We've baited and they've clicked.
And then, so that was the signal, and then the couple of guys with him did the open up machine gun fire. And just took him out.
Wow.
There's a, like, and this is supposedly the last recorded kill with a bow and arrow in battle.
No.
Yeah, hasn't been one since 1941.
Far out.
Wow, that's amazing. That's
that
a great,
is amazing.
Great fact.
Yeah.
You Good should have saved that for fun facts.
That's what, 75 years of...
And that's quite a lot.
What's
quite
that noise, Dave?
Giddy up.
Yeah. 75 years of giddy up. I'm killing you with a bow.
So that there's a bit.
That's badass. I'm so impressed.
Most of the stories I was reading about it, they find all this stuff about him very endearing. And you know, like it's a little bit troublesome talking about war and like building up the romanticism of it.
Mm.
And I feels like a lot of it is, you know, it's a myth. You know, this
yep.
You're talking up this guy and it's going, look, he's our hero. He's an English legend, so we can all look up. You know, or even you know the Allies or whatever.
Yeah.
So I was trying to find someone who had a contrary view, and I found this guy. He's a British weapons historian. It was quoted in an article.
Okay, a fun party pooper.
His name is Mike Lodes. Which is
Lodes.
A great name.
Okay, great name for a military historian. Really a weapons guy.
And he was talking about how using that as the signal to kick off the offensive. This quote's about that. He says that that tactic doesn't suggest a specific advantage for using the longbow in that situation, but rather a macabre curiosity of using the situation to see what it was like to kill someone with a longbow.
But that's why it's badass, right?
Yeah, I guess so. He said, of course, to the enemy, they were going to die either way, but I'm not entirely sure this is the clear-cut, honourable boys' adventure story it first appears to be. Which is the way you hear it told mostly.
Yeah, sure.
Which is an interesting thing. Yeah, maybe this guy's just like a...
Oh, he sounds batshit.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, but I mean,
he's crazy, if not mad.
You wouldn't... Yeah. He's... Yeah.
That's his name.
It's in the name.
It's in the goddamn name. The buddy putty pooper. Oh, no. He killed a Nazi.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing.
How do you feel about that?
I feel great.
Well, do you?
But I mean, do you feel any other things? Yeah. Maybe like some.
I mean, there's two sides to every story, Dave.
Oh,
I mean,
now Nazi, who's being sympathetic?
The Nazi was a person.
Was that sympathy for the devil I hear from Jess Perkins?
I think she's trying to get into your psyche.
Yeah, I'm trying to relate to you.
Which is, Jess, I'd say be careful before you get into his mind. It's a dark place. In
exactly.
There.
Do not stare into the abyss. The abyss may stare into you.
Oh my God, what's happening? I'm suddenly feeling things.
Is he calling his mind the abyss?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's that arrogant.
Yeah, an abyss of a mind is a very, very good thing.
Dave, I would kill.
For an abyss.
For an abyss of a mind. I would kill.
Thank you.
Feel but great. I don't have one. I don't have one, Dave. I don't have an abyss for a mind.
How would you describe your mind?
Just like a little, my brother, this is genuinely how my brother has described my brain before. You know those little toy monkeys? That just have, like, cymbals, and they play the cymbals.
It's like Homer Simpson.
Yeah, he thinks that's what's in my brain.
You and Homer.
Just, and this noise. A little monkey.
Oh. Dave, which episode of The Simpsons was that?
Oh, it's probably in multiple. Sorry.
You've let everyone down. I really thought you'd know that.
I'm sorry that he let you down.
Listeners. Again.
Abyssners.
See, they subscribe to The Abyss.
They don't. They subscribe to the podcast.
Which
is called Do Go On, and it is in no way an abyss. What the f... We're at like, what, for how many episodes? We've done 50-plus episodes.
My mind is one-third of the end of the show.
Okay,
so one-third
champ.
Of the show is an abyss.
Okay, champ. Settle down. Fucking hell. I'm so sorry about him, everybody.
If you shut up, I'll give you an abiscuit.
No. I'll be good.
Do we have any abiscuits?
Are we, we're
hungry.
Devoid of abiscuits. I'm searching. A year later, in 1941...
That's abysmal. It took me a second, but we got there.
That was the closest thing to a thing. I'm cutting it all out. A year later, in 1941, the British Army were looking to start up a new crew called the Commandos.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, come on, the story just kicked off.
Yeah.
And so they were advertising, saying, looking for volunteers to join this
Are
crew.
You mental?
But yeah, they didn't talk a lot about it. But I did read that they did promise. They're saying we can't tell you exactly what it is, but we promise you it will involve aggressive service.
Oh, do you love killing people with weird weapons? Are you mentally unstable?
Yeah. I like the idea of them not giving you any. Like, we can't tell you any details except you're gonna have to kill a lot of people. All right, cool. Do you have any questions about who, how? Nah, not one.
Oh, wait.
Give me my gun.
Can I bring my bow and arrow? I guess. Then I'm in.
I'm in.
Umbrella?
We draw the line.
Yeah, come on, mate.
Come on, mate. Don't take the piss. This is serious.
This got his attention. Crazy Jack.
He's like, I'll leave the umbrella behind.
And yeah, he joined up. The commando training took him to Scotland. And this is where he met a lady named Rosamund Denny.
Mm-mm.
They were married that year.
Aww.
They did it fast back then.
She was also batshit crazy.
Do you know why they did that?
Because they wanted to bone.
No, because it was that, and also it's likely that he would die next week.
Oh, right. But that's not good for... Why does she want to do that? You know what I mean?
Probably...
What's in it for her? Does she get, like, war benefits?
Yeah, maybe military benefits.
That's awful.
That's not what I was saying. But, you know, like, you want to get married because, like, well, we may not have a time next.
Oh, right. Just, yeah.
He's being romantic and you went straight for money. That's about right.
It's like, well, yeah, we get married now or I might die maybe tomorrow.
Yeah, but why would, like, I get why he doesn't want to die. Like, back then, being married was important. He didn't want to die single, which is, like, obviously an outdated thing. I get it from his perspective in the war, but the person who's not in the war, what's in it for them?
Yeah, probably boning. You're probably right. You're probably right.
I think it's boning. And what's not romantic about boning, Jeff? At least the way I do it. Oh, no. Yeah, that's what you were going to say. One of us had
Not to. The way I do it. Nothing romantic about the way I do
not
it.
Not the way.
That's what I was going to say. And
that
I didn't.
That was better. No, I wish you did.
No, it's not better.
Oh, fuck. Should have left it for you a little bit longer. I could see you wanted to say it.
I wanted to say it and then decided not to say it because I sometimes cautious. Say very inappropriate things on this podcast that I later regret.
Oh, really? Okay. So the commando's training was long and arduous. It took many months, and it wasn't complete till late in 1941. And it was sort of signaled by the successful
shooting of a Nazi with an arrow. Well, that's the signal of it.
You've all graduated.
Far away.
You all get one Nazi.
There were so many of them. Now it's just, I mean, it used to be a lot, and now it's just like one per podcast.
Oh, God.
Matt, for the 100th time, thank you. You're welcome, Dave.
Allegedly.
Thank you.
The training, so yeah, it was... The training was complete late 1941 with a successful assault on the German garrison at Vågsø in Norway. Probably not how you pronounce it. Churchill was in charge of two companies in the attack with the goal of taking down the German forces on Maloy Island, including they had cannons there. They want to take them out as well. And in what sounds like classic Jack style, he stood at the front of his landing craft. You know, as those, you know, those boat things that come in, you see in the movies, are those weird sort of...
amphibious sort of vehicles.
So he's standing on the front of... Picture this. Our man Jack is standing on the front. His craft is out in front. So he's on the front craft and he's standing right out the front of it.
Oh, no.
As it moved ashore. And he was smashing out a few tunes on the bagpipes.
You're fucking kidding? Like they've got cannons inside a castle on an island.
I guess there is some... There is something like I just think that was probably the, you know, the back then that was pump up tunes. That's rousing music.
What would they be playing now?
I imagine it'd be hip hop, right? It'd be something with big bassy beats.
Be the best around.
Oh yeah, it could
no
be.
No one's ever gone bring.
It could be 80s music as well.
Yeah,
but I thought so. Yeah, if you were talking about today music, I would have thought it'd be more like big. I don't know.
I was thinking Waltzing Matilda.
Oh, okay.
Probably.
But that song...
That's rousing.
Yeah, I guess so.
Sorry. Oh, rousing. I beg your pardon. Yeah, I always get those two confused.
When he shoves that jum back in his tucker bag.
You can shove your jum back in my tucker bag.
Thank you very much. Things just got...
I'm going to start calling it a tucker bag. That's disgusting.
Oh, no, don't think about it too much. You're taking away all the romanticism.
I'm going to wait for your belly to boil.
I can't think of any of the lyrics.
Sad anyway.
I'll let you bill on my bong.
Up jump my troopers, 1, 2, 3. I got 3 dicks.
Oh, Banjo Patty, your son? Oh no.
What?
Oh, no.
What's happening?
Back to the pipes. That is honestly one of the most badass things I've ever heard.
Yeah, he's just, there's someone, like, and I think it's his fearlessness is what makes the troops around him, his troops especially, you know, just walk taller and be more fearless themselves. Like, it rubs off on him.
Dave, is he gonna die in a really bad way?
Oh, so what's this, 1941?
He's gonna die soon and in a bad way.
He's only got 4 years. He's gotta survive 4 more years. And I don't think it gets worse the way.
I reckon like he's gonna be playing the bagpipes and everyone's like, oh, we're fine, look how confident he is. And then he just gets like shot square in the chest.
In the face.
And they're like, oh, that's right, we're in a war.
Yeah, bagpipes aren't bulletproof.
And he refuses to wear a fucking helmet or pants.
Is he wearing a kilt?
Got his sword, though.
Is he wearing a kilt?
He does wear a kilt at times.
Very good. Very good indeed. Oh. Nothing underneath, though, as is the traditional way.
Oh.
Is that true? Do they not wear...
I believe traditionally you don't wear anything in the Highlands.
We've got Scottish listeners. Let us know if you wear stuff. I know you probably don't wear them just in your day-to-day life, but I mean, is the traditional way of wearing a kilt with no...
Because there's always that thing of that they underpants. Lift their kilt and flush the enemy to sort of scare them and also just, you know...
Is that a real thing?
Yeah, just look fearless and crazy, which I believe a lot
just
of them
seems
were.
Seems like a Mel Gibson movie kind of thing.
Oh, that's what he's thinking of.
Did you see Mel Gibson's ass in that film?
Oh, I don't think so. I've never seen it.
I have. It's
Mel Gibson's ass.
Oh, we've all seen Mel Gibson's ass.
Yeah, me too.
We're Australian. We've all seen his ass. It's a rite of passage here in Australia.
It's a bloody birthright.
Is that right? All right, son, you're 18. Here's your first beer. Here's Mel Gibson's ass. Carry on.
Good luck to you.
You're a man now. don't forget to vote. I don't know what that means.
It's on the voting ballot paper.
Yeah.
Not given his ass. It's one of the options.
Yeah.
From 1 to 5, rank these people in order of your preference. Well, Mel Gibson's ass, 1.
Obviously, every time.
So Churchill let out his men, playing the bagpipes. I love that he's just got the bagpipes on him as well.
Of course he does.
Carrying them around.
Hey, if you can carry a bow and arrow with you, you can carry some bagpipes.
So once they get into the shallow enough waters, he jumps in, wades into the water, sword up.
Of course.
Which is the most pointless
What
thing.
Year does he think this
There's
is?
There's no point in having a sword. They're up a hill with cannons.
Shouting war cries.
Of course he is.
And they took down the Molloy... I'm not saying that right. They took down this island quickly.
Really?
He signaled back a message saying, Molloy battery and island captured. Casualties slight. Demolitions in progress. Churchill. Cool, calm. Churchill.
Maybe it's just all about the confidence.
Yeah, there's got to be something in there.
I think
right?
we can learn from that. It's all about confidence.
He knows the secret.
I think, did he... I'm sorry if you've got this in your report later and I'm getting ahead of it, but did he coin the phrase, fake it till you make it? Did he? Was that him?
I believe that's written on his tombstone.
I think that's where I did to hear
him.
I was
for the fun facts.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm so sorry. Oh, no. Oh, I jumped ahead.
But what exactly...
It's changed a little over time.
Sure.
What exactly is he faking? Immortality?
Yes.
Fake being immortal until you are immortal.
Yes.
See, that was the original phrase, and it was not as catchy.
Yeah, it doesn't have the same ring to it.
But, you know.
Similar, but same theme.
Languages, it's
it evolves.
Fluid,
it evolves. You
know? So he got through the battle unscathed.
What the fuck?
Not a bloody scratch. But soon after, there was an accidental explosion.
Oh, no.
He was sitting, drinking a celebratory wine.
Sure.
Is what how the story goes.
I did not imagine
it
was a wine drinker.
What kind of wine do you reckon it was? Obviously a red, I reckon. Definitely a red.
Yeah, I don't think there's no ice around.
Nah.
And so one of his own side's explosive experts accidentally set off a small explosion, which sent a shard of the wine bottle into his face.
Oh, no.
No. You said shot in the face.
Yeah. Oh, but did it... And what happened, Matt?
He later joked about the wound, saying, I had to touch it up from time to time with Rosamund's lipstick to keep the wounded hero story going.
I love him.
That's so great. So now he's just got like this crazy scar on his face, which makes him even more of a badass. It's a Scarface.
He is Scarface.
Oh, say hello to my little friend. What a guy.
In
and then he pulls out the bow and arrow.
In Italy in 1943, the commandos...
Scarface.
Scarface and the commandos mm-hmm. were caught in a furious battle with the Germans. Plenty of these Germans... This is the thing I don't get about the war, right? They're just such an epic army that they're taking on like quite a lot of powers at once, right?
Yeah.
But they were just... Yeah. They'd really come up and they were...
What kind of powers? Mind reading. Telepathy.
Telepathy. And we're going ones that are quite close together early.
But different.
Yeah.
Teleportation. What else could they do? Go invisible. Invisibility, some would say.
I'm sure they could fly.
They can obviously fly. Oh, sorry. I thought that one was a given.
Can they shoot webs and tall and climb high?
Yeah, they can shoot webs. They can shoot webs. They also have their...
Radioactive sperm.
Radioactive sperm. They have the ability,
watch out for that.
When they're cutting a loaf of bread, they can get every slice the same width. That's pretty much
every time.
I mean, that, if you're going to have a superpower, that'd be the one you want, right?
Also, perfect pump whenever they filled up with petrol or
perfect
gas.
Pump.
Just always even dollar amounts.
Oh, I love that. So they're doing well with these powers. Not that I'm sympathising with them, but I mean, credit where it's due.
Wait, who? Yeah, we're talking about the Germans. I forgot who we were talking about. The Germans, okay. I keep calling them the Germans, but the Nazis would also work. Germans make them sound
what,
like
What
real
term
people.
Do they prefer, Dave?
I don't know. We have never been in touch.
Oh, that sounds like that breaks your heart.
They have never written back to my letters.
Dear Nazis, don't listen to the others. I think you're all right. Please write back. Love, Dave, age 11.
Your biggest fan.
He started early.
Not true.
Were you nine? Nine. Didn't mean it, but it was there.
It was there, you had to take it.
Yeah, you got it.
Nine jokes. I mean, every time there's Germans involved, there's got to be a nine joke
there
or two.
There has to be.
So that in 1943, commandos caught in a furious battle with the Germans, and under the cover of darkness, one night Churchill organized his men. Like, it was a pretty full on battle. Supposedly, Churchill thought of a different strategy. He organized his men into six parallel columns, six lines, and he sent them So apparently, the underfoot it was quite it wasn't like flat.
Underfoot. So the ground.
The ground, say. You know, in AKA, the ground, was quite noisy to walk through. So he's like, we're not going to be able to just like sneak up on them. So let's go the other way. Put them in a six columns, send them charging ahead, yelling commando. Commando, commando, commando.
So if they might hear your steps, let's just yell.
Yeah, you may as well.
When you say...
That's basically going, you know, act bigger than
like
you
a
are
bear.
As well.
Yeah. When you say columns, though, it makes lines, me think of them... Thinking, yeah, no, but it makes me... it makes me think of them
like... a circus act.
Yeah, there's like three of them up. And then they're vertical. Yeah.
they've like one...
Commander.
All three of them are like, they've got a hat on the top and a really long jacket.
Yeah.
Who are these giants? Run away!
Like toddlers being adults.
And that worked. The really tall German toddler adults confused the Germans because it made it sound like they were everywhere.
By yelling commando. Wow.
Because they're coming. Oh,
it sounded
they'll
come from all directions. And that the attack was a huge success. They netted. They took 136 prisoners in that attack.
Holy shit.
At the same time, Churchill had gone deeper behind enemy lines, right? Of course,
yeah. He just kept going. He just kept running.
He was now posing as a Nazi.
He just took one man with him named Ruffle.
Ruffle?
Or Ruffle?
Ruffle.
I think Ruffle.
Ruffle. Is Ruffle a man or a dog?
A dog. He took Ruffles.
Here, boy. Here, boy. Shh. Now, when I give you the signal, start yelling commando.
And shoot an arrow at that Nazi.
Good boy.
So he went all the way into town there.
He just went to the pub.
And that's where the term went to town came from.
He really went to town on those Nazis. and apparently even Churchill later described what happened next as being a bit Errol Flynnish.
Okay, all right.
Even he said that.
Who said that, sorry?
Mad Dog himself.
Mad Dog himself described himself as Errol Flynn.
Errol Flynn. He said the scenario was a bit Errol Flynn.
Oh, cool. Because Errol Flynn was famous for his swashbuckling films.
Yes. So what happened was he could see it was totally pitch black dark, but he could see a cigarette light in the distance. So he could tell there was a person there. Him and
oh god, I hope he says the line "smoking kills."
Yes.
Wait, but change the noise to an. Bow and arrow,
Swish of a sword.
Yeah.
But so that's what happens. He goes up and he takes these guys. He yells.
Commando!
He yells something at them in German and they surrendered with him just and his sword.
Which they? How many?
Two. So just two?
Why would they surrender?
He
had a sword. Confidence. He faked it till he made it.
Yeah, and there's a quote in a second, but I'll just go through the rest of the story. So he captured these two German soldiers. I'll say the story very briefly. They then went around to all the other posts, and just two by two, or however many were there, he approached the next post and got the Germans to say, "Hey, everything's cool, man. That's all right. Hey, what are you guys up to?" And they gotcha! And then they got more and more. And they just went around this town collecting German prisoners.
It's 32 of them walking around going, "Yeah, everything's cool," in unison.
Not 32. 42.
What? What? Two people captured 42
yes,
men.
Yes, like way behind enemy, like in the town that was obviously had at least 42 German...
What?
Soldiers there. So he took them and all their weapons. He made them hold their guns. He took all the ammunition out of the weapons. And another one of the prisoners carried the bag of ammunition. And he just marched them back to where the rest of the British troops were. Which I was like, what? How would... Why? Surely just a few of them would have to go, "Hey, look, this isn't good for us."
Yeah.
Yeah, hey.
We can outnumber him. He's got maybe one of us... I guess that's
someone's going to get chopped, but come on.
But
worth it.
But then, so there was a quote from Churchill that explains why he thought it was possible. He said, "I maintain that as long as you tell a German loudly and clearly what to do, if you are senior to him, he will cry, 'Jawohl,' which I think means, I looked up, means yes, and get on with it enthusiastically and efficiently, whatever the situation. That's why they make such marvelous soldiers."
What?
So they're like robots saying yes to senior.
It's like just, it's like he thinks of them like they're dogs or something. Just, you gotta.
You just gotta be.
You've gotta be. You're the boss. Yeah, nice, clear commands.
If you're dominant, they'll respond.
Don't make any sudden movements. They kick back at the rear.
Yeah, always approach them from the front.
Something like that. In 1944.
Oh, he's so close.
Yes, he is. In 1944, he was sent to Yugoslavia. And he was leading a charge. So obviously we've skipped ahead again. He was leading a charge through oncoming fire and mortar shells. Pretty full on scenario here. And this is where his luck finally runs out. He was one of only seven men to reach the target. So there's just seven of them there, and they're just like
they
in a
really
real hotbed.
They really needed to get some new clothes and some homewares.
Our target is a shop here in Australia
and elsewhere.
Yeah, I think that might be an American store.
It's a different chain, also called Target.
But, with the Target symbol?
Yeah, it's very
same
much
same sort of shop, though, right?
So it probably translates, Dave.
Well, not, well, our listeners in Monaco might not know what Target is.
Oh, Monaco.
That is good.
Yeah. We do have one listener in Monaco tweeting,
just
hello.
The one. Huh. Okay.
Well, that's like 1/10 of their population.
Okay,
that's not true.
That is so ignorant of you.
Look at the facts, people.
That's not one of them. I'm sorry that I interrupted you, but I kind of had to for the Target joke.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I'm just worried that our Monaco listener isn't telling his friends.
Yeah.
That's all we're saying.
So, yeah, he was only one of seven men to reach the Target department store. And after running out of bullets, he found himself to be the last man standing. There'd been a few mortar shells that had taken out his teammates. Not fully killed, they were sort of, but they weren't fully killed. They were on their way to being dead.
Oh, no.
Once he realized he was defenseless, he pulled out his bagpipes.
He did not.
And he played
Shut
somber
the fuck
music.
Up. He did not.
Until the advancing Germans chucked a grenade and exploded him.
Oh, God.
So?
But.
Something may have hit him in the face.
No, they didn't explode. I'm making that sound worse. He got knocked out.
He's still not dead.
Fucking
what?
A German account at the time described it as the doleful sound of an unknown musical instrument.
Adorable.
Oh, so wow. He's like, I'm defenseless now. They're coming for me.
Play some.
I have the bagpipes somewhere.
Play some BP.
It's not a small instrument.
Where are the bagpipes?
Why is he carrying them with him? Does he have travel-sized bagpipes with him?
He's got a mini set.
He's got to inflate them.
Just as
they're
powerful as the noise.
A small inflatable one. Which makes sense, I guess.
That's good. He's still not dead.
He came to find the Germans poking him. To see if he was still alive.
I reckon he's still alive now.
Maybe.
I reckon he is.
So Mad Jack's luck had seemingly run out, but because he was captured by the Nazis and the order was to for him to be killed.
Mm.
But for some reason he was spared. I've read a couple of things. One of them was saying that, you know, a certain German officer was like some sort of mutual respect for another high-ranking officer. I'm not going to do that. I don't think this is right, sort of thing.
Wow.
And there's another theory that was that he might have been mistaken as a relative of Winston Churchill. And possibly because of that, he was flown to Berlin to be interrogated.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
okay.
That's not good.
So his life was spared, but they're like, we're gonna get this information out of you.
Yeah.
I can tell you that they're not just going to ask nicely either.
But what would you do there? Would you cooperate to spare your own life and just be like, yeah, I'm his cousin, and then just make up the answers to their questions?
Yeah, because that would be better for your side anyway if you gave them false information.
Yeah, then they'd probably spare you if you get... Well, no, they probably wouldn't. They'd probably get what they needed out of you and then kill you
anyway.
Doesn't
sound like the badass way.
I mean, that's what I was thinking. I'm like, this story makes the Nazis sound like they're just Like, how do they keep letting him? Why haven't they killed him yet? Yeah. Anyway, seems like they've had a couple of opportunities. So he was flown to Berlin to be interrogated. That's the story that when he arrived in Berlin, when he got off the plane, he left a little match or a candle amongst some newspapers.
No.
And then...
What?
And then when they got... So they get out of the plane and sort of turn around and the plane explodes and burns.
Is it true?
Apparently.
So while... Hang on. While he's walking away from the plane in slow motion, it explodes behind him?
Yeah, that's how
I'm
picturing it.
Is he wearing sunglasses?
Yeah. Oh, he wasn't. But he knows that there's about to be an explosion. So he puts them on to protect his eyes.
But somehow everybody else falls over in the explosion, but he keeps walking.
And then music plays. Bagpipes.
Yeah. Oh, he's got to have like a sweet catchphrase. Nazi, more like Yahtzee. Explosion! Credits roll.
Yeah, I think that was it.
That's why you're an associate producer.
Hey, it's pretty good.
Oh, Jess just sent back a bit of neg. A neg back your way there.
It's not nice, is it? Dave?
I threw the hand grenade back.
How does it feel?
It's not nice.
You can dish them out, Dave, but can you
certainly
take
can't
them?
Take them.
I know I can't.
Yeah.
I'm so fragile.
You're the most precious.
Yeah, I'm the most precious.
You're our precious little boy, aren't you?
So, yeah, and I'm like, all right, well, that's the last straw.
Yeah, hey, you blew
this
up our plane.
This guy's blown up.
Fuck you. I'm going to shoot you in the head right now.
Yeah, that's what, right? But apparently he was like, oh, yeah, one of the pilots... was smoking and reading the newspaper.
I told him that was a recipe for disaster. He told me to shut up.
It's all very sparse, the story, how this story is, but that's what a few different articles said, that he just said that, and then they sort of skipped to... Anyway, and on, you know, next thing. So, wait, what?
That's amazing.
What Nazi is taking that as an excuse? Oi! Heinz, or whatever.
Heinz,
come over here.
Stop making delicious soup and come over here.
Come over here. Mad Dog has just said that you were smoking on the plane. And now, as you can see, it's smoldering to the ground. Is that true?
I imagine the pilot was on the plane and got exploded, though, right?
Oh, that might have been the... Yeah, that makes... All
probably
right.
Probably can't interrogate a dead guy.
Heinz.
He blamed a dead man.
Heinz.
Oh, no.
Heinz. Oh, no, now we're sympathising for the Nazis. It's a slippery slope, isn't it, Dave?
Oh, it is a dirty game you're playing,
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know. Never touch the slope. Never touch the slope. Not even a toe.
Don't touch the slope.
Don't touch the slope.
Don't drop the slope.
Once in Berlin... Oh, I don't mean to talk over your zingers.
No, it sucked. Yes. Please go on.
Once in Berlin, he was able to prove that he had no valuable information to give.
The only way that happens is that they torture the shit out of you and go, wow, all right, he clearly knows nothing because he would have said something now.
That's like, it feels like, well, if you don't know anything, now we'll kill you.
Yeah, all right, so he's useless and he just blew up the fucking plane. And he's been bow and arrowing sergeants left, right and centre.
Just all day.
And... surely he's got a reputation because there's only one guy that has a bow and arrow and plays this bagpipe instrument that they've never seen.
Which
before.
I imagine he's still carrying around with him. I think he actually lost the bagpipes in that last, obviously, when he got knocked out. I don't think they let him take them with him.
Oh, that would, you know, that'd be crushing him.
Instead of, they transferred him to the Saskatchewan, that's not right, Sachsenhausen concentration camp.
What?
Where he quite quickly escaped. Relatively quickly.
Of course he did.
I'm going to say that that's one of the big concentration camps.
Yeah, it's one of the big ones.
And he escaped.
He escaped it by getting under a wire fence and through a drain.
What is he, a rabbit?
A rabbit that lives in the drain?
I just mean they can get under fences. God, Dave, it's like you never had a pet rabbit as a child. They can get under fences.
He's got an abyss where his imagination should be. He can't. He just can't.
What's that like? Lonely, yeah.
In his head, he's like, no, he's a human. It's not like a rabbit at all.
Rabbit? What are you talking about?
That is good face.
Thank you.
He's giving good face right now. So once free, his plan was to walk through Nazi territory to the Baltic Sea, approximately 200 kilometres away.
And then what was he going to do when he got to the Baltic Sea?
Go for a swim, I guess.
Oh, he's going to swim back to England.
He actually made it a long way. Supposedly it was only a few miles from the coast before he was found and captured and transferred to another camp. Ugh. So again, finding himself in captivity, Churchill stayed vigilant.
Like a rabbit.
Waiting for an opportunity to escape once more.
Like a rabbit would.
In the autumn time, an opportunity presented itself during a power outage. And he took his shot and he escaped from the Nazis once more.
What?
Who in this story, it just sounds like they're the Schultz guy going, you know, the sort of really incompetent Hogan's Hero style. Also a Simpsons thing. Colonel Klink, remember that?
That's right. He was on the show.
Homer. Yeah, so this time he had a new plan. It was to walk about 160 kilometers to safety.
Oh, just a cheeky 160.
Well, you know, that was how far it was to get to a border or something like that. Or one of the big towns that might have been a little more ally friendly. He escaped with an old rusty tin. And
what? In what's that? He used that? Or
no, it was his friend.
He escaped with it.
It is my friend.
But apparently he had it with him for quite a while, like thinking ahead to the escape. He's like, well, I'm going to need this. So he had it with him ready to go. And some people said also some onions.
Sure.
But it which sounds weird, but it made sense because he used that to cook food.
Ah, okay.
So he'd go past crops and he'd take vegetables out, cook them up in the tin can, the rusty can.
That is brilliant.
I think maybe this is what he was saying. He thought of it as he was liberating Nazi vegetables because he's stealing them from the crops, as he went, which is pretty funny.
That's so good. Be free into my
into
belly.
Into my tummy. He made it 8 days into his journey, and in those first 8 days, he'd rolled his ankle and he was battling a bit before he was found again. But this time by Allied American forces.
Oh, yes!
So he was back, baby. So the European part of the war was coming to an end, but the fight was still going on in the Pacific. And that's where Jack was heading. He wanted to go where the action was.
I want to be where the people are.
So he was on he was en route to Asia in the Pacific.
Did you just say that?
Asia.
Asia. How do you say it?
The Asian continent.
Asia. Asia.
Well, you don't have to close your teeth so violently at the end of that word.
Asia.
I mean, I can hear it in my headphones. I'm really hoping our listeners can hear you do that.
Asia. No, that's
no,
right.
No, you're still...
Asia.
There we go.
Yeah, Asia.
Yep.
Asia.
There was a bit of a teeth clamp there. This
now has become one of those words that sounds weird.
Wait, if you say any word 15 times in a row, you start thinking about it too much.
Matt. Anyway, so he was en route.
Matt. See, Matt. It's weird. Matt. Your name is Matt.
It's bloody music in my ears. So he was on his way to Asia and...
Nailed it.
And perfect. Before he got there, or some people say just as he arrived... I mean, it's a big place, Asia. Obviously, I don't have the specific place where he was heading. But just as he was about to arrive was when the Americans dropped the bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, basically ending World War II for all intents and purposes.
It's probably like it's a good thing to end a world war, but Jack's probably like... Oh.
He is quoted as saying, possibly tongue-in-cheek, but he's quoted as saying, if it hadn't been for those damned Yanks... We could have had kept the war going for another 10 years.
Oh.
Yeah, damn it, Yanks.
I mean, I'm kind of with him on them not nuclear bombing.
Totally.
But wanting the war to go on for 10 years is a bit odd. I think I'm like, it's funny how the different articles, like that's another quote that came across in a lot of articles. And some people are like going, what is wrong with this guy?
Yeah.
And other ones were like, clearly tongue-in-cheek,
yeah,
you know, or a little bit tongue-in-cheek.
I think it's a little bit tongue-in-cheek.
I feel like that wasn't the end of combat for him. That was the end of the war.
But he survived the whole Second World War.
The whole Second World War.
That is just insane.
He was pretty annoyed that he'd missed a lot of action because he was a prisoner. He missed quite a bit of time in camps and walking,
You'd think you'd
vegetables.
Be glad to be alive.
Yeah.
And not a prisoner. But he's like, oh, I missed all that.
Yeah, I can't, like, anyone else would be like,
thank God.
Sending you home. Thanks. He's won a bunch of medals.
Wow. Did he get a Victoria Cross?
I don't think he got a Victoria Cross.
No.
He got
Usually you have to die to get that, but...
Right, well, that he did not do that. That wasn't the end of combat for Mad Jack, though. Now in his 40s, he trained as a parachutist.
Oh, my God.
And ended up in Palestine as second in command of the 1st Battalion of the Highland Light Infantry.
I've changed my
infantry.
Mind.
Infantry.
I've changed my mind. You know how I said he's going to die really badly? Now I think he's either still alive or died peacefully in his sleep at like 90 years old.
Like a nursing home.
He was
home.
Born in 1906, remember?
Yeah.
110, that is not impossible.
It's not impossible.
But very unlikely.
That's what I said. He's either still alive or he died peacefully in his sleep when he was 90.
I was just trying to build up the the excitement.
He's still alive and he's got him out the side. He's here. He's here. Oh my
Do
God.
You recognise this voice? Ah, bow and arrow.
Yeah. A bow and arrow just...
Commando! Commando!
We just see a bow and arrow fly through Matt's chest and he kicks down the door. Oh, here he is.
A really old man.
He slaughters us all for some reason.
Well, because you're a Nazi, that's why.
He knows. He knows.
Cut and dry, mate. So he went...
He's parachuting.
Palestine. He was there for a little while.
He's insane.
He was said to have saved the lives of 700 Jews in Jerusalem, safely evacuating them.
Wow.
Which is pretty... That's possibly something... I didn't look into that stuff so much, so I'm not going to... Yeah. It's like, how did he do that? He went up one by one with the sword and said, you want to be evacuated? I said, yeah, yeah. They were all just going about their business.
He just had 700 hostages.
He went on after Palestine, he went on to serve as an instructor at the warfare school in Australia.
What?
And whilst in Australia, he got keen on surfing.
Fuck off.
Became quite a good surfer. And
fuck off.
When he went back to England, he designed his own surfboards.
No, he didn't.
And he became the first person to ride the Severn Rivers 5-foot tidal ball.
No. No.
So what's that?
It's like a water thing that like a certain pressure hits and it like pumps up and then it like it's something you can surf and people.
And he was the first one to do it.
Oh,
what a guy!
He is insane. And you know what? Less Aussies surf than you'd think. When I was overseas recently, than you personally would think.
Really?
Recently, somebody was like, "You're Australian, do you surf?" I was like, "No," and they went, "No Aussies I've met surf. We don't actually surf that much."
I mean, and yeah, in Melbourne,
well, yeah,
we're in a bay.
Our southeast, yeah, there's no.
There's
and it's also cold.
Plenty
it's
of
cold
Melbournians who surf, but like my brother's a surfer, but and I got like cousins who surf and stuff, but I would say the minority. Of my
I think if you go
surfs.
North,
yeah, certain towns
definitely
would
more.
Definitely
anyway, I digress.
He remained married to Rosamund until his death in.
I reckon he made it to the 90s. I reckon the 90s. He got surely he
nah,
was in his 90s.
1983.
Dave.
1991.
1996.
Holy shit!
He made it to 90. Just said 90.
How did he die? This is sick that I'm so excited.
He was 90.
So he died peacefully in his sleep at 90.
He died of being 90.
Oh my God, I was right. I said that.
When you get to 90, people don't go, how did you die? It's just, he was 90.
I said that.
That is pretty
amazing. Do you think
amazing.
I'm secretly psychic?
I think you secretly psychic. I think you killed him.
I was 6. Of course I killed him.
Oh, there's no way.
I've been too bloody cute. He couldn't handle it. His heart gave out.
Oh, no. A 6-year-old could
never
take him
down. Look at her little pigtail. She's so cute.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
He didn't quite make his birthday. He was 89.
Jess, so close. You killed him once.
Born in September, died in March.
Oh, a few
months ago. Laughed way too hard about an 89-year-old hero dying, you sick fuck.
He's the most insane man. He would have laughed at that because he is crazy.
What does that say about you, Dave?
I'm so happy. I'm so happy that you remain married to his wife. I was wondering what happened to
poor
old
Roman.
Happy he died.
No, so happy he was married to his wife.
You're so happy he died, you monster. Did they have kids?
Married to Rosamund, had 2 kids.
Oh, my God. They're still alive.
Yeah, sure.
Either of them in Australia?
No.
That'd be so cool. It'd be so cool if we were secretly his grandchildren. We didn't know. God.
But there's no way I could be his grandchild.
How do you think you'd, like a guy like that, how would he be spending his retirement years?
So he'd be that guy at the RSL just telling stories and everyone's like, yeah, righto, Jack.
There must have been
They'd be like, bullshit.
The thing that was talked about a bit was that he spent his later years with his wife sailing coal-fired ships on the Thames.
What?
Oh, the Thames. The Thames.
The Thames.
Possibly why it was that was in my head. And also making model ships, which became quite collectible, apparently.
I'd love to get a Mad Jack
apparently they were
ship.
Really accurate, like, Navy ship models.
He wasn't even in the Navy!
All of a sudden he loves boats.
Oh my god, I love him. He also did he still play the bagpipes?
I reckon that he was. Yeah. I reckon he was probably gardening a hedge with a sword.
Yeah, definitely. He was the local crazy man.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So that's the report. There was one last thing, which is maybe relevant or not. There was an article I read about. One of the things that came up about him was just a couple of years ago, the Royal Norwegian Explorers Club published a book that featured Churchill, naming him as one of the finest explorers and adventurers of all time.
Wow.
What a life.
What a life.
How did he live?
Without
odds on that he dies before old age. Like, how did he... Like, he... At one point, he got shot with a machine gun. I think it clipped his ear. Like, he just...
Like, centimetres away from death.
Yeah.
Millimetres.
But he would have been centimetres away from death
At all times.
Amazing.
What a story. What a character.
That, I've never heard of, I'm surprised I haven't heard
and
of
him. And he's hardly like, you know, you can. He's not hiding away. He's standing at the front, yeah. One out, with a sword in there, basically going, go on.
Yeah, surely if you're the sniper, that's the first one you go for, right?
Yeah. But all this stuff is what makes me feel uncomfortable about, like elevating this war, this guy, like, makes him feel a bit made up.
Yeah.
Like the myth has been inflated.
Yeah.
He's like, it's like the Hunger Games where they put that bow and arrow lady out and they like call her the Mockingbird or whatever.
And Katniss and the Mockingjay.
Mockingjay. And she's like on all the videos being inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he was just like a
He was a Mockingjay.
Maybe.
You're saying that he's propaganda.
I feel like, don't you think it feels a bit like that? Like it could be? I mean, the winners write the stories, right? So,
Fuck, that's a good point. But I think he's dangerous.
I'd like to believe it because it's
a good story.
It's a great story. No, I just wonder if it's been inflated at all.
I'm sure. I'm sure. But,
yeah, definitely.
But point to a life that hasn't been.
That's true.
Wow.
It sounded way deeper than it actually is. But thank you.
Wow.
Thank you.
That was really good.
It's really good, Dave.
Thank you.
What a lovely way to finish.
God, you're lovely.
Sometimes,
Dave.
The abyss gives back.
Sometimes the abyss gives back.
Does that make me a pen?
That's actually quite philosophical as well. Sometimes
if
the abyss
only
gives
there
back.
Was a way we could record this wisdom.
Ah, but there's just no way we can do it.
I'm
afraid have a pen.
We've run out of tape. We'll have to delete the last 5 minutes.
Oh no.
Oh, Matt, that was actually a great story, and we would like to thank Steve.
Sharday S909. At Shades909 on Twitter.
Thanks, Steve Sharday.
Thank you, Stevay.
What a bloody... Stevay. Yeah, that's a great suggestion.
Yeah, awesome.
He's not a guy who's messaging much, Steve. I don't think I've seen a lot of feedback. So hopefully he's around. But yeah.
Well, we always...
Great suggestion.
We always ask for suggestions. But how about if you know any other great lives of crazy stories of people that aren't like super duper famous that most of people... Just don't know if you mention them by name, but if you look into them, it's like, wow, give us those names because we'd love to talk about them.
Yeah.
But any topic, anything you like, you can put into the hat via email not like Steve did, but you can do go on pod@gmail.com or via Twitter like Shades090 did, at do go on pod. We're on the Instagram now, on Instagram now.
Oh God, Grandpa.
At do go on pod, Facebook.
Do go on pod.
Do go on pod.
It's all do go on pod.
I know, I'm just very repetitive, aren't I?
Yes.
But we would love to hear from you. And next week is a very special episode for us as we are hitting our first birthday.
Guys, we look great for one.
It is 1 year of releasing a podcast every week because we started with 3. That's why it's going to be episode 55. But it's going to be a year since we first released our thing. So we may have something special in the works.
Ooh.
Little announcement.
Bit of sizzle.
Little cake.
Each download will come with a free slice of cake.
Ooh. I don't know how we're going to deliver that.
Well, we've got a week to think about it, so. Okay.
Sounds like a good deal.
We'll start making cake.
JP, Bop will be back in the hot seat, yes, giving her a report
in the
next
Bop
week.
Seat.
Oh, I love it.
It's just the seat I sit in every week. It's the Bop seat.
You should label it and not let anyone else sit there.
Oh, I do.
The Bop seat.
Yeah.
But until we do that, I will say goodbye.
Bye.
Later.
Wow.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.